إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فقد كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه إذا حضر الشتاء تعاهدهم وكتب لهم بالوصية: إن الشتاء قد حضر وهو عدو فتأهبوا له أهبته من الصوف والخفاف والجوارب، واتخذوا الصوف شعارا وهي ما يلي البدن، ودثارا الملابس وهي الملابس الخارجية، فإن البرد عدو سريع دخوله بعيد خروجه. Dear brothers and sisters, there are occasions that a believer should take an opportunity from, and also we need in such occasions to have our precautions. Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu anh, when he was the Khalifa of the Muslims, when the cold weather kicks in, he used to send, if you like, a message to his to the people, to the Muslims, saying that the winter is here, so you have to take all precautions. Be very well prepared. And he used to ask them to wear heavy clothes, woolen towards the body and outside, to wear socks and so on and so forth. The message of Umar radiallahu anh reflects that Islam cares about various aspects of the people. It is not just to tell them the truth, what they should do and they shouldn't do, although that is particularly fundamental to Islam. Nevertheless, the ruler and whoever is responsible for a family or a group, etc., should look after their well-being, look after their affairs. Make sure that, for example, if you are a father, that you feed your children the right food, that they are warm enough, they are clothed enough, and so on. Umar radiallahu anh gave that example as a khalifa, and he used to care about his people, so he used to send this message. Statistically, if you look into how much cold weather may cost in terms of heating and so on, but that is the necessary thing, as opposed to people falling ill, getting flus and so on and so forth, if you like, cold ailments, to the extent that some weaker people may die because of flu. Very old people, people with immunity problems and so on, may actually die. So Umar radiallahu anh used to send his message to his people. He didn't have the facilities of satellite stations, TVs, or a website. nor did he have a Facebook. But we know for sure that it reached people as it reached us after more than 1400 years. Today, dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to talk about the fiqh of winter. I'm not sure if this is a subject that I have done here, but even if I did, it is important to go over it again and again. I call it the fiqh of winter or the jurisprudence of winter. And there are things that we need to make sure that we do, and there are also opportunities that we should take. Yahya ibn Mu'adh says, "Al-laylu tawil," that is about winter. The night is long, so don't make it short with your long sleep. And Islam is pure, so do not cause it with the impurities of your sins. And Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he used to say, "Marhaban bil-shita, tanzilu fihi al-baraka, wa yatulu fihi al-laylu lil-qiyam, wa yaqsuru fihi al-naharu lil-siyam." Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu used to say that, welcome, he used to feel happy that winter is here. And subhanallah, a believer will always take the opportunity of anything. If the weather is too cold, if it is too hot, if the day is too long or too short, no matter what, if the believer is healthy, if he is otherwise, if he is wealthy, if he is otherwise, it is always good for a believer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Ajaban li amri al-mu'min, inna amrahu kullahu lahu khayr, in asabathu idha asabahu sarra, aw in asabathu sarra shakara fa kana khayran lah, wa in asabathu darra sabara fa kana khayran lah." All what comes to a believer is good for them, for him or her, because if the believer is beset with bad things, shortage of funding or lack of good health, etc., then the believer is patient and reliant on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change that for him. So Allah will reward him. And if it is the opposite case, if the believer, alhamdulillah, is in ni'mah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of children, good health, having enough, etc., having a good job, having a good wife or a good husband for that reason, for a wife, then alhamdulillah, they are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are grateful, and Allah will increase them. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكَ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells that if we are thankful, He will increase us. And if we reject His ni'mah, reject what He gives us, then His punishment is severe. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anh, in his saying, he is welcoming winter, albeit abnormal to abnormal here in the northern hemisphere, let alone in the desert of Arabia, where they are very much used to hot climate. But when winter comes, he says, welcome to winter. It is a blessed time. The night is long for a believer to do qiyam, and the day is short for a believer to do siyam. As you know, Maghrib nowadays, and it was even shorter two, three, 4 weeks ago, but Maghrib is just after 4:30, and Fajr is something around 6:20 or so, depending where you are. So you have a fairly long night for a believer to really pray 2 or 4 rak'ah or 8 rak'ah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the day is short enough to fast. At least, dear brothers and sisters, to fast the days you missed if you are traveling, or for women if they were breastfeeding or they were in the time then they cannot pray. This is the time to compensate, to redo the days. No one says that they should do it near Ramadan when the day is extremely long. Alhamdulillah, a day is a day. And fasting from dawn to sunset is okay in winter or in spring or in summer. So also it's a good time to make up for those you missed, let alone fasting extra days, Mondays, Fridays, Mondays, Thursdays, 3 days of the month in the middle of the month, and so on. And you could say the same, you could hear the same saying from Al-Hasan Al-Basri, نعم الزمان زمان المؤمن الشتاء ليله طويل يقومه ونهاره قصير يصومه. So you could say that Al-Hasan Al-Basri is saying the same, and many ulama are actually saying the same. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is calling it الغنيمة الباردة. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصوم في الشتاء الغنيمة الباردة. رواه أحمد وحسنه الألباني. الغنيمة is the loot or the booty, if you like, when you the what you get from as a result of a war or something from the enemy, that is called الغنيمة. And الباردة, it means it gets to you very easily because you get the reward. Yet it is easy. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that it is an easy loot, it is an easy something that you can get in winter. Also, as much as the hot weather can remind us, وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, of the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the unbelievers and those who reject the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and assign partners to him, but also the winter is a reminder too. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اشتكت النار إلى ربها فقالت يا رب أكل بعضي بعضا فأذن لي بنفسين نفس في الشتاء ونفس في الصيف فهو أشد ما تجدون من الحر وأشد ما تجدون من الزمهرير. متفق عليه. والمراد بالزمهرير شدة البرد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this صحيح حديث in Al-Bukhari and Muslim is saying that the hellfire complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Oh my Lord, I have consumed, parts of me consumed the other parts. So it is so hot that it is in if you like, self-consumption mood. So allow me to breathe twice. One during winter and one during summer. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, and during that time, it's the hottest you experience during the time of summer, and the coldest you experience during the time of winter. One of the things in winter that making wudu for your salah and making ghusl, for example, it is sunnah to make ghusl for Jumu'ah. Alhamdulillah, we live nowadays, although this is a very cold country, I believe most of us, the huge majority of people, they have warm water, not only in winter, but throughout the year. But sometimes that warm or hot water is not available, and yet you still need to make wudu. The only time you should not make, or you cannot make, or there is an excuse to make tayammum, which is using the turf of the earth, as explained in Surah Ali Imran and in Surah Al-Ma'idah, is if the cold water can cause damage, if you are ill and it makes you extremely sick or can expose you to danger, to health, then of course then you can make tayammum. Otherwise, healthy people, they still have to make wudu. Again, I know that this is almost redundant. Most of us, they have access to warm water. Nevertheless, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَا يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا وَيَرْفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ وَكَثْرَةُ الْخُطَى إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فَذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ فَذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ رواه مسلم. The Prophet ﷺ is in the hadith narrated by Muslim, he is asking, shall I not tell you what causes your sins to be removed and rubbed off, if you like, and your degrees with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be raised? They said, قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Of course, they said, of course we need to know. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ, means that you make proper wudu no matter what. So you still make proper wudu, and the wudu is the key to salah, and salah is the key to Islam, and Islam is the key to Jannah. It may be the case that the water is not that warm and it's a little bit cold, so you do very quickly, you know, and you may not reach your elbow, or you may not wash your face properly. Then in this case, you have not done proper wudu. If you still make proper wudu, which you have to do anyway, in these conditions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins and will raise your degrees. And actually, the act of making wudu is an act that when we do proper wudu, the sins will fall off our limbs and face and feet, etc., when we do so. Let alone if we do it in conditions that are not favorable, such as the water is cold. Sometimes, you know, the heater packs up, the immersion heater is not working, and you have to make wudu with cold water, and then you still, by the will of Allah, make proper wudu in the right way, then Allah will raise your status and will forgive your sins. The other one, the Prophet ﷺ says, of course, al-makarih is general. It doesn't mean just winter. It means anything that can make it difficult for you to make wudu. It may be that, I don't know, you know, you're not feeling very well, and when the water touches you, you don't feel good. Some people, they may have a little bit sensitivity because of the water. Of course, if it is to a degree that it affects the health, then it is a different matter. But if there is any reason why it is difficult to make wudu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that extra reward. And indeed, that goes for what you need to do. If you do salah with ease, Allah will reward you. But if you do salah in conditions that are difficult and challenging, and you still do salah, still go to the masjid, still you do khushu' in your salah and proper ruku' and proper sujood, then not only that Allah will reward you for the salah, but He will increase your reward. So the more difficult siyam in summer is definitely, insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, done with the right niyyah, is more rewarded than siyam if the month of Ramadan is in winter. So you get the reward anyway, but you always get an extra reward and forgiveness if the circumstances are challenging. كَفْرَةُ الْخُطَى إِلْ مَسَاجِدِ, to have so many steps to the masjid, which means that you care to pray with the other. You don't just stay at home and say, yeah, I'll pray it at home. Praying in the masjid not only carries many folds of rewards, 25 times, etc., but the way when you go into the masjid, all these steps are counted for you. One step, you will raise you a degree, and the other step will forgive a sin. All the time, going and coming, going and coming, staying in the masjid, waiting for the salah, is as if you are in the salah. Dear brothers, as and I'm saying brothers, you have to go to the masjid. If there is an access to the masjid, all the text, all the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ points towards that, into that direction. If sisters wanted to go, they can go. لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله وبيوتهن خير لهن. Do not stop your wife or women to go into the masjid. I know that there are many masjids in the, you know, they have no facilities for women because they don't want women to go into the masjid, and that is against the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. A woman, she feels sometimes that she likes to be in the masjid. Yeah, her salah at home is more rewarded, but she wants to be in the masjid. She wants to go to the khutbah. She should go. No one can stop her. Not her husband, not her father, not her brother, not anyone. وانتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة فذلكم الرباط. Waiting for a prayer after a prayer, as we mentioned. If you are cold, you tend to cover up. You tend to probably wear gloves, socks, and some people, they cover their faces. If you are out, actually protecting your head and protecting your face is extremely important. But the question is, can we pray while we are covering our faces? فقد صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه نهى عن السدل في الصلاة وأن يغطي الرجل فاه, رواه أبو داود وغيره. وقال الشيخ ابن باز رحمه الله يكره التلثم في الصلاة إلا من علة. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked us not to cover our faces when we are praying unless there is a reason. Let us say you are praying in a snowy weather outside and it's extremely cold. If you don't cover your face, your nose may freeze or your ears, etc., then you can do that. Otherwise, if you are indoors and there is no reason to cover, you should not be covering your face. To wear gloves, يجوز لبس القفازين, وأحد أقوال الشافعي, وبه قال النووي. وأما من استدل بالمنع لحديث مسلم أمرت أن أسجد على سبعة أعظم فلا يستدل به على كشف اليدين, والرد عليه أن الركبة كذلك مغطى. Anyway, you can pray with your gloves, inshallah. The month of winter, of course, you may be in Southeast Asia, and winter comes during the monsoon season, which is when it is hot in summer. But generally, in the you will find that winter comes with rain, especially in where most of us come from. There are two things. Rain is a good thing. And the Prophet ﷺ used to expose himself to the rain when it rains. I'm not saying that you do that on a daily basis, but at least you should not follow the sunnah of complaining about the rain. Oh, it's raining. Oh, it's raining. Half of our problems at home is because it doesn't rain. It stopped raining. For many years, you may not find in places that they used to rain, decades ago, there is no rain. Hence, to grow crops, you need water. And water, if you need to dig into the ground or take it from a river and so on, it becomes expensive. So one thing is exposing to the rain. There is a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ used to expose himself to the rain. It is a sunnah, so you should be feeling happy. And he said that the rain comes from above and it is recent with our Lord. The other thing is, the rain stops coming because of the deeds of people also. قد صح عن ابن عمر مرفوعا ولم يمنعوا أي العبادة العباد زكاة أموالهم إلا منعوا القطر من السماء ولولا البهائم لم يمطروا, رواه ابن ماجة وغيره وحسنه الألباني. And in another hadith, ولا منع قوم الزكاة إلا حبس الله عنهم القطر, رواه الحاكم وصححه الألباني. So depriving the poor and needy from your zakah, that is wajib in your case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to these sahih hadiths, will deprive our countries from rain. And you may think that these people have a lot of rain. They, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people, they have their way. They're not Muslims to pay zakah. Allah gives them rain, they may give them a good life and so on. But Muslims, they have sunnah in their lives. If they do something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may punish them so as they remember to do the right thing. Depriving the poor and needy from our zakah leads to the deprivation from rain. The deprivation from rain leads to lack of crops and so on, becomes expensive, and hence the food becomes expensive and so on. So we need really to take note. Very quickly, there are a few things that there are some ad-du'a when the wind comes that I ask you to really look up, as there are so many du'as in different positions at day and night, and when you leave the house, when you enter, and so on and so forth. So that comes under it. And also the thunder, we need to remember that the thunder, when we hear the thunder, is making tasbih. So that reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, staying with raining, the time of rain, when it is raining, then it is the time for dua to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ثنتان ما تردان الدعاء عند النداء وتحت المطر. There are two that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject. The first is to make dua عند النداء. النداء means the adhan. The adhan, when the muadhin say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, then the sunnah is to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, to follow what the muadhin is saying, and then after that you say Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma wa as-salati al-qa'ima. There is a dua, and Allah will not reject that dua. And the other one is during rain. This is narrated by Al-Hakim. Things like you have to be careful if you light a fire inside the house, that is an open fire. The sunnah that is narrated, that it should be put off. And I remember when I was a kid, people did not have the modern facilities, nor did they know the danger of lighting a fire inside a closed room. Because when you have a fire, then the fire, if there is enough oxygen, one of the byproducts of the fire is CO2, which is we breathe out. But if there is a lack of oxygen, then it produces CO, only one particle of oxygen with the carbon, and that is lethal if breathed in for a while. Subhanallah, and the sunnah came with that a very long time ago. A few more things. If we get sick, if we get a flu, then alhamdulillah, that is to shed our sins and to increase our rewards. We should not be cursing the illness. As said, لا تسب الحمى فإنها تذهب خطايا بني آدم كما يذهب خبث الحديد. Do not curse the حمى. الحمى is to have fever as a result of an ailment. Do not curse it, because it purify you from your sins as the fire purifies the iron from the impurities. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. Very very quickly, to wipe over your socks in winter is sunnah. The opinion of restricting the condition of the sock to be so thick, so elaborate, made of leather, if you go into the lake it will not get wet, is not, you will not find it anywhere in the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ gave us this to make things easy. Also, if you have a hole, a small hole, as long as this is called a sock, you can wipe over it. And the conditions are very, very, very simple. You make wudu or ghusl and then you put it on. Then you can, if you are not traveling, you can wipe over it. So when you make wudu, when you come to your feet, instead of washing them, you wipe over. And you, the first time you, let us say I did that like 12 o'clock this afternoon. And then by 4 o'clock I wiped over it because I wanted to pray Maghrib, but Asr, my wudu was okay. Then I calculate 24 hours. So I can do that until 4 o'clock tomorrow. And if I'm traveling, it's 72 hours, 3 days with 3 nights. If you have any other opinion, you are welcome to stick to it. The other one is, sometimes you may need to combine prayers, particularly in winter. The time is very, very short. Then you can, for reasons of exams, for reasons of even sometimes in a weekend you may want to go downtown, and by the time you come back it's Maghrib, and you need the time, and you may not have a masjid. Then you combine Asr with Dhuhr, and the rule is that Asr and Dhuhr can be combined in the time of Dhuhr or in the time of Asr. And Maghrib and Isha, they can be combined in the time of Maghrib or in the time of Isha. You cannot combine Maghrib with Asr or combine Fajr with anything. So you have three bands. Fajr on its own, you can do nothing about it. You have to pray it on time. Then you have Dhuhr and Asr that can be prayed from the time of Dhuhr until the time of just before Maghrib. And all, after Maghrib, you can pray Maghrib with Isha, of course, with reason. I'm not saying that every day you do that, with reasons. And the Prophet ﷺ indeed combined the prayers without any reason. And when he was asked, he did it once. So it's not his lifestyle to do it on a daily basis. He says, "Hatta la ahrij ummati," or so as I will not make it difficult for my ummah. If you think the other day a brother, he said, "I have an exam. Can I combine Maghrib now with Asr?" I said, you can't, but you can delay your Maghrib if it is the time of exam until Isha. Alhamdulillah, our deen has the flexibility built into it, but you have to do it with knowledge, and you have to do it in the right way. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen, innaka hamidun majid. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت الأعز الأكبر الأكرم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير، ومن أراد من سوءا فاقسمه وخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم انتقم ممن قتل المسلمين، اللهم انتقم ممن جوع المسلمين، اللهم انتقم من هدم منازل المسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين على عدوك وعدوهم، وردهم إلى دينهم ردا جميلا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.